Open your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter number 2 and Romans chapter number 3. When I speak of justification, what goes in your mind when you think of being justified? Anything in particular? I don't know how many of you seen the news. There was a little news clip. I'd seen it, and Chris sent it to me. But this guy, I can't remember all the particulars about it, but he'd gotten out of jail, gotten released, gotten pardoned or something by the judge. So he goes out, courthouse, the jail, into the parking lot of the jail and courthouse, and breaks into a car. So he gets caught, and so they take him back into the jail. Some people say that to be justified means to be pardoned of our sins. But it goes deeper than that. Because if we sinned again, we would come under condemnation of the law. In other words, if it was just getting a pardon from God and that was it, and said you're forgiven, it would just be in sins that you've committed. Justification goes deeper than that. And tonight I want to look at a thought or two on justification, but I want to lay some groundwork for it. Then I want to kind of bring in what it is and what it does and why it's demanded. And so let's begin. Paul writing to the Galatian church, they were having some issues, and people would come in and try to create all kinds of problems after Paul preached there. Look, if you would, in verse number, we preached about the gospel this morning. Look, if you would, in verse number 6, chapter 1. The Bible says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed, cast into hell, done away. There is not another gospel. The only gospel is Christ. Anything else is a perversion, okay? And so Paul said, yeah, there's another gospel, but there's really not another gospel. You can't call it another gospel because they're not other new good news. Then he goes on and began, if you'll begin reading in chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now let me stop right there and say this. What Paul's saying is, he said, now listen, when God called me to preach and give me special revelation what to preach to Gentiles, I come to the church of Jerusalem. And especially to some of you that was standouts in the church, I come and I shared with you what? brought Timothy or Titus with me. He was half Greek. You didn't ask him to be circumcised. Now there's some that's come into the congregation that's wanting the Gentiles to be circumcised when they believe. In verse 6, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted no man's person. For they whom seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Now let me say this. So Paul says, listen, he said, Peter was selected to preach to the Jews, the circumcised. I was chosen by God to go out to the Gentiles, to the uncircumcised, and preach. So much for Peter having the first pope ship. Notice the next verse what happened. He says, and when James and Cephas, James was a pastor of the church there, and Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me Barnabas, the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen and they unto the circumcision. So whenever he came, they gave, and Paul said, this is a revelation that God's given me. This is what God's called me to do. And so they blessed him and Barnabas go out on the first missionary tour and go out and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And they shook them, blessed them, and they didn't ask Titus to be circumcised, nothing like that. Then in verse 10, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. So much for him being pope, the high potentate. He said, when Peter come over to Antioch, I had to call him down, put him in his place because he caused a problem. Look and see what his problem was. He said, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were with circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. In other words, separation. What happened was this. They were there, they were fellowshipping, they gave him the right hand of fellowship. Then when Peter come over to Antioch, he was there, he was fellowshipping with the Gentiles that had been saved, and the church and all that Paul was working with. Then some Jews come in. They begin to say, hey, we got to separate ourselves from these Gentiles. We can't eat with these folks. We can't be with these folks. We can't do this. And they begin to cause a division. And Paul said, I had to call Peter down right to his face. He was blamed. And I told him he was wrong in what he did. Because what he did was, he was fine with it until all these other Jews come in. And when the other Jews come in, then all of a sudden, it pulled him away. And he went with them. He sided with them. And then they caused other people in the congregation to go out, the Jews. Then they even got Barnabas. He went out with them. And said they caused a big division. Should never have been a division. And here they were. Later on, when they met with the church, you know, James decided, being the pastor again, didn't have Pope Peter deciding it was James, the pastor of the church of Ephesus. He made the final decision that they didn't have to be circumcised. And God revealed to them that the Gentiles didn't have to be circumcised, be saved, and be part of the church. That was not it. It was a circumcision of the heart, not of the skin, that brought them into relationship with God. Look on, verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? In other words, he said, why come over and not be willing to live as they do, and yet you want them to live as you do? He goes on in verse number 15. He says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing, and this is my verse I want to preach from, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by what? The faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying, listen, the only reason we Jews are in the position we're in is not because we kept the law, but because we had faith in Jesus Christ. He goes on, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be what? Justified by the faith of Christ and not by the what? Works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be what? Justified. In other words, he said, but while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. In other words, he said, now listen, you can't sit here and say that these folks are justified by getting circumcised. We, the Jews that are part of this movement, we got there by being saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because we were circumcised or kept the law. We can't be saved by the keeping of law. Neither can they be saved by keeping the law. Now look, if you would, in Romans chapter 3. We're saved by the blood. Notice, if you would, in chapter 3, in verse number 24. Being what? Justified how? Freely by his what? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice that we are justified freely by... Now, if you'll get this, this will help you. I promise this will help you, if you're saved, to understand. If you'll stay with me just a few moments. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation or substitute through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which, what? Believeth in Jesus. Now, why do we have to be justified? Look back in verse 23. For all, includes you, includes me, have what? Sin and come short of what? The fact that we have sinned, the moment that we have sinned, we have broken the law, we are condemned before God. The only way that we can be justified is by God, through the act that he made possible through Jesus Christ. Look in chapter 4 of Romans. Stay with me a minute. What is it? Look, if you would, first five verses. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham what? Believed God, and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. Not to him that worketh is a reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? Okay, so when we get saved, what we do is we get forgiveness of sin, but at the same time, we are clothed with righteousness. And I'll get back to that in just a moment. Now, notice what he said. He said, if any of us are justified by our works, then God owes us, we don't owe God. But grace says that we owe God because he's done something for us that none of us can deserve, do deserve, or will ever deserve. That's what grace is all about. Doing something that God did, something that was impossible for you to do yourself, he did for us. Amen. And so what it was to justify us. And stay with me, we'll look and see what that's all about. Notice verse 6. Who is it that justified? Verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And remember, the word imputeth means that God divinely transfers righteousness. In other words, justification is not a progressive act, something that you continue to get. It's done once forever at the moment you get saved. And what God does is, the moment that you get saved, blessed is a man that whom God has imputed righteousness. He clothed you with righteousness. When he looks at you, he sees Jesus is righteous. He never again ever sees nothing but Jesus' righteousness as far as you are guilty of the law. You have been not only forgiven, but you have been clothed with righteousness. Now, an eternal clothing. Now stay with me a minute. Saying, verse 7, saying, blessed are those are they whose iniquities are what? And whose sins are what? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not what? Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned, and the word reckoned is sort of comes from the same root word that imputed does. For faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. In other words, it was given to him for righteousness. Now, in verse 10, how was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, not in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of the circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, of which he had being yet uncircumcised. In other words, he said, listen, when God saved Abraham, he didn't automatically circumcise Abraham either. And so Paul got circumcised so he could be father of all of it. Nobody would have anything against him, regardless if he's preaching to the Jews or the Gentiles. But he did it. And he was of the circumcision, but he said that's not the case with everybody. So it's not just the one that's favored because it's believing. Look on, if you would, look and see in verse 13 through 17 how he describes that justification comes about. He says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. And the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of what? Faith, that it might be by what? Grace. To the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is a father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. In other words, he says, listen, he said, there's one reason that you've been justified. Faith. Believing. Now I'll get to my point in just a moment if you'll stay with me. Look on just a little bit further. Why were we justified? Look in verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. If we what? Believe on him that raised up what? Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our what? In other words, the proof that God, now get this, the proof that God's going to accept your justification was given when God raised Jesus from the dead. When Jesus come out of the grave, that was proof that God's going to accept the justification that he's going to give you. We were just, look back in verse 25, the way he says it. Let me read it. I don't want to mess it up. Notice what it says. Who also was delivered of our offenses and was raised again for our what? Okay. So now you need to understand that justification was by faith. Look on, if you would, in chapter 5. Therefore, being what? Justified by what? Faith. We have what? Well, one of the benefits that we have of being justified is we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, people say, well, I'm afraid of God. Listen, if you've been saved, you don't need to be afraid of God. You've been justified. Therefore, through being justified, let me ask you this. Apart from Jesus, just you, this last week, just this one week, this last week, how many of you would like to approach God on your behalf of your actions just this last week? How many of you would like to stand to God before God and say, use me as an example? What you need to understand is none of us would have any peace with God with our own lives if our lives was all that allowed us to have peace with God. You see, it's not that that allows, Brother Bobby, it's not your actions that allows you to have peace with God. It was the fact that you were justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, get this minute. We have been justified, and we'll talk about that a little more in just a second. We've been justified, notice in verse 5, justified by faith. The Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 5, by whom also we have what? Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. In other words, we have access to God. How many of you would want to approach God just on your own merits this last week? You know what makes it possible for you to go to God even though you failed God this week? Because you've been justified. You have an eternal standing with God. The moment you receive Christ Jesus, you become a son of God. You have been justified, and therefore you can come to God anytime you want to come to God. You can come and you have access to God. Not only do we have access to God, not only do we have peace with God, look on in verse 2. It says, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In other words, we have hope that comes from that. Now, let me say this, and I want to show you a couple things real quickly. Notice if you would in chapter 8. Turn over to chapter 8. Notice in verse number 33 of Romans. It's an act of God. The Bible says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that what? Somebody said, well, I don't think it's right. I think it's ridiculous that you even believe that God can justify you. Well, I know you ain't been perfect after you got saved. How can God justify you for sins that you aren't even committed yet? Look, if you would, back in chapter 5 once again. There's something very special that we have been justified with. Those of you would, in verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now what? By what? We shall be saved from wrath through him. In other words, we're not going to face the wrath of God. We're not going to face hell. We're not going to face those things. Not because Brother Porter's kept the law, but because he's been justified. Because faith. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Just believing in Jesus, having faith. Well, it's like we preached this morning. When you are converted by that faith, and you turn to God in that faith, and you believe, you are justified. Now, stay with me a minute. So, to be justified, what you need to understand is an act of God. And it's needed because anyone who's committed sin and under law, you're condemned. And so, therefore, the Bible says that God says, I will not justify the wicked. Now turn one more place with me, and I'm going to close here. But notice if you would in Titus chapter 3, real quickly. Titus chapter 3. I'll try to bring this all together here in just a moment and close it out. The Bible says in verse number 4 of Titus chapter 3, but after that the kindness and love of a God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, right? But according to his what? He saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through where? Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now notice verse 7. That being what? Justified by his what? We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Please get this. When you talk about being justified with God, God didn't say, Junior, when you got saved, I forgive you, and so I pardon you of everything that you've done. He said, Junior, I forgive you, and I am now going to take my son's righteousness, and I'm going to clothe you with it. When I look down from heaven, I'm not going to see Junior Herring. I'm going to see Jesus. And therefore, anytime that Junior needs me, even though he's going to sin, if he says he had no sin, he'd deceive himself, and truth's not in him. But even when he does, he can come to me and he has peace with me. And yes, I understand that iniquity will separate us from God as far as making us ashamed to come, and we have to come and we'll ask for. But what I'm saying is when we want access with God, and be honest with you about every one of us, when we really mean business with getting access to God, the first thing that we do when we come in the presence of God and really need something is what? When most of you pray around here, when I ask you pray, how many of you, the first thing you want to do is say, man, I'm not worthy to pray. God, forgive me. Forgive me where I fail you. How many of you, when you go before access to God, you go, oh, God, please forgive me. I know I'm not worthy. Thank God for justification. He has eternally clothed you with his son's righteousness. And if it was just pardoning your sin, the very next sin you committed, you would be guilty before God and you'd have to go through the process over. But justification is an eternal act of God. And whom God has justified, who can condemn it? Who can say a word? We've done seen through the faith, through the blood, and through his grace and through his mercy, we are justified from the wrath to come. And I've been clothed, and I don't care. I know God deals with us as his children in different ways. But my friend, from here to my grave, I am clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. I'm never going to have any more than I had the moment I got saved. Because the moment I exercised faith in Christ Jesus, I was justified. And being justified, I cannot be condemned. That's why Paul says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In John 3:18, he said, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Amen. Isn't it good to know? Somebody said, I'm afraid to face God. I would be too if I was just facing up on me. But thank God I have the justification of the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been clothed because of my faith in him. And God's grace, his mercy, and Christ's blood, I have been saved eternally. I am saved. And I am in a position where I have peace with Almighty God. Is that not a tremendous thing? To be justified I was thinking when you was telling me about that guy I done seen it on TV. I was thinking, how crazy is it for him to be pardoned, then go out here and be caught on the camera breaking in somebody's car going to steal something? Now he's right back condemned again. And I was thinking, praise the Lord. That's not the way it is when I've got saved. You know what I did after I got saved? I went right out there and I found myself doing some things I shouldn't do again. Thank God I didn't get locked up all over again. But thank God there was something greater than a pardon that Jesus gave me. He justified me. Does that make it right? No. And those things will come back. I got to deal with those issues. But I've been justified. Thank God. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. What page, brother? Maybe tonight, if you were to face God, you would be all on your own. Nobody wants to face God by themselves. Oh, friend, that would be a fool to stand. As a matter of fact, you can look around this church. There's nobody perfect. And there's not a person in this church that would want to stand and face God on their own merit. But thank God we have the merit of Jesus Christ. And he did a divine transfer of his righteousness to us. That's what we are justified. By his blood, by our faith, by God's grace, through his mercy. Amen. All thank God. Amen. Let's sing, Brother Porter.